president.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings on the roll call be dispensed with, the sergeant at arms be instructed to bring the absent members.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is Reverend Richard Carlson, retired Lutheran pastor from the St. Paul Area Synod.
Greetings to you this day. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give thanks for the gift of life and for your calling us to this day to use the gifts you've blessed us with to engage with others with honesty and respect. Give to each of the elected representatives here gathered a deep sense of the privilege and responsibility of the office to which they hold. Give them courage in their convictions, strength in their integrity, wisdom in their discernment, and a spirit of humility in listening to one another in their mutual conversations in order to work together for the common good of all. Help us to realize that we need each other, that we cannot accomplish things alone, and that outcomes of complex issues begin with trusted relationships with one another, a non-judgmental listening ear, and a willingness to compromise. Let us see today as an opportunity to influence the direction of our state for a bright future that will actualize a reality of living with hope and not fear, abundance and not scarcity, and in community and not isolation. As winter has given way to the promise of spring, give us a joy of renewed energy and hope for the future. Let us be about our task this day, trusting in your power beyond ourselves. We offer this prayer with a grateful heart. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzold, Bonhoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fischbach, Folby, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Parisot, Pogemiller, Pretner Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vanderveer, Vickerman, Wieger.
Quorum is present. Go to next order of business is messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following Senate files. Herewith returned Senate file numbers 298, 1172, 431, and 926. Signed, Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House. And, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the House has acceded the request of the Senate for the appointment of a conference committee consisting of 5 members of the House on the amendments adopted by the House to the following Senate file 550. Bill for an act relating to energy, providing for energy conservation. There has been appointed as such committee on the part of the House Representatives Hilty, Falk, Johnson, Kalin, and Beard. And, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the House has acceded to the request of the Senate for the appointment of a conference committee consisting of 3 members of the House on the amendments adopted by the House to the following Senate file 708, Bill for an Act relating to mortgages. There has been appointed as such committee on the part of the House Representatives Mullery, Johnson, and Zellers. Senate file 708 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House. And, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following House files herewith transmitted, House file numbers 818 and 1760. Signed, Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Okay, the next order of business is first reading of House bills. Two of them are printed on today's agenda. Without objection, first reading of House bills. Next order of business is reports of committees. There's one to be read at the desk.
Senator Pogemiller from the Committee on Rules and Administration, to which was re-referred Senate File Number 133, a resolution memorializing Congress to oppose federal legislation that interferes with the state's ability to direct the transport or processing of horses, reports the same back with the recommendation that the resolution do pass.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that the committee reports on the agenda and the committee report just read be now adopted. Except for the one pertaining to appointments.
Does he have to lay that one on the table now? On that motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Senator.
Mr. President, I move that the committee report pertaining to an appointment be laid on the table.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Second reading.
Second reading, Senate File 133.
Second reading. Okay, there's House files on the agenda. Second reading. Got the next order of a second reading of Senate bills. Did we do that already? Senate File 133. And we did the House. Next order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. There's one printed on today's agenda. Without objection, first reading of Senate bills. We're on to motions and resolutions. There's one author's motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. You want to go to the calendar, Senator Pogemiller?
Mr. President, I think there is some interest in recessing so that some members would like to attend. Apparently, there's a national prayer service today taking place out on the Capitol lawn. And so perhaps this is what we could do. We could recess till 1 o'clock so members could do that. When we come back at 1, we will vote on the calendar. Senator Senjum, if you would decide and let me know if you want to waive layovers there or not. I can go either way. Just let me know if you want to waive those. We'll take up the calendar. There will be a Senate Rules Committee sometime this afternoon, and then we will come back and a bill will come out of the Senate Rules Committee that I will ask for a suspension of the rules on sometime later this afternoon, and that will by and large be the work for the day. We would process that bill and create a conference committee related to that bill, and then we would be done for the day pretty much. And I will talk with Senator Senjum, and I'll give you further information about that. So I would move a recess to the call of the chair, 1 o'clock, and the Senate Majority Caucus will meet immediately upon recess for a brief 5 minutes. So then you can attend the prayer service. If you want to go to the prayer service immediately, I can catch you up on, but the caucus will, well, maybe what I could do is the caucus will meet at 10 to 1. The caucus will meet at 10 to 1.
Okay.
In the retiring room.
Okay, just a reminder, if we're coming back at 1, we're going to go to the calendar immediately. And so there'll be eight votes or so. And so I just, if you want to vote, be here on time, and we're going to go right to the calendar. At 1 o'clock.
So
be here sharp. And
the majority caucus will meet in the retiring room at 10 to 1. 10 to 1.
Okay, on the motion to recess to 1 o'clock, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. The Senate stands in recess.
Mr. President, I'd like to impose a call to the Senate, please.
Senate's under call.
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with, Sergeant Arms be instructed to bring the absent members.
Okay, on that motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Are there reports?
The calendar.
Well, apparently there's a report there's from the House.
A message from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House file, herewith transmitted, House File 885, Bill for an Act Relating to Taxation. Signed, Elvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
Senator Polk. Okay, first reading of House bills.
House File 885, a bill for an act relating to taxation, making policy, technical, administrative, and clarifying changes to income, corporate franchise, and other taxes, etc.
First read. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that House File number 885 be referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration.
On the motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
On motions, I move we take up the Senate calendar.
On the motion to take up the Senate calendar, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Okay, we're going to. He didn't waive the layovers, did he?
Mr. President, I was going to, Senator Senjum.
By way of the layover?
What? Move to waive the layovers on the calendar.
Okay. On the motion to waive the layovers, favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Now, the first bill on the Senate calendar this afternoon, Senate File 1504, this is a Senator Berglund bill. Secretary will give the bill. It's third reading.
Senate File 1504, a bill for an act relating to human services, amending mental health provisions, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. 58 ayes, 2 nays. The bill is passed. It's title agreed to. Second bill on the calendar is Senate File 1867. This is a Senator Betzold bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 1867, a bill for inoculating the state government, creating the Minnesota Geospatial Information Office.
Secretary, take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 59 ayes and 2 nays, the bill is passed. Its title agreed to. The third bill on the Senate calendar, Senate File 1889. This is a Senator Gerlach bill. Get at your desk. Secretary will give the bill. It's third reading.
Senate File 1889, a bill for an act relating to state government requiring certain settlements involving the state to be paid to the state general fund.
Secretary will take the roll. Secretary, we'll close the roll. It'll be at 61 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed. It's still agreed to. Excuse me, that's 62 and 0 nays. Bill is passed. Title agreed to. Number 4 on that Senate calendar is Senate File 1459. This is a Senator Boniff bill. Secretary will give the bill. It's third reading.
Senate File 1459, a bill for an act relating to state government requiring municipalities to utilize state cooperative purchasing.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 36 ayes, 26 nays, the bill is passed. It's title agreed. The fifth bill on the calendar, Senate File number 2, this Senator Cohn bill. Secretary will give the bill. It's third reading.
Senate File number 2, a bill for an act relating to state government specifying the development of budget recommendations and requiring state agencies to provide information.
Secretary will take the roll. So we're going to keep going. Yeah. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 43 ayes, 20 nays, the bill is passed. It's title agreed to. The sixth bill on the calendar is House Bill 1056. The chief author is Senator Scheid. Secretary will give the bill. It's third reading.
House File 1056, a bill for an act relating to construction requiring prompt payment to construction subcontractors.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There'll be 63 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed. It's title agreed to. The next bill on the calendar, number 7, Senate File 1036, Senator Metzen bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 1036, a bill for an act relating to state government ratifying state labor contracts.
Secretary will take the roll. Secretary. I'll close the roll. There being 49 ayes, 16 nays. The bill is passed. Its title agreed to. The last bill on the calendar, number 8 on the calendar, Senate File 1481. This is a Senator Cohn bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 1481, a bill for an act relating to the budget reserve, modifying priorities for additional revenues if in general fund forecasts.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote, secretary will close the roll. 46 ayes and 19 nays. The bill is passed. Its title agreed to. Where do we go now, Mickey? Senator Pogamiller, did you want to recess at this time for rules, or
is there other work at the desk, Mr. President?
Well, there's some messages that we didn't do earlier that require some votes. Concurrences to the, if you want to do those, there's about four of them, I think. You want to come look? Without objection, we'll revert to messages from the House.
This message is on Senate File 1539, Senator Gerlach. Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File 1539, a bill for an act relating to insurance. Senate File 1539 is herewith returned to the Senate, signed Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Senator Gerlach, a brief description of your bill and what changes were made.
Yes, Mr. President. Do I need to make the motion to concur?
Yes, make your motion for it. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I move that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 1539 and the bill be placed on its repassage as amended.
Okay. Now, Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. This is the viatical life settlement bill. This was the sort of cousin, if you will, to the Stolle bill we had earlier that was Senator Scheid's, and we've already covered the bill, so I will just explain what the amendments that were taken on in the House. There's really some grammatical ones, but also two substantive. The rescission periods had been reduced from 60 to 30 days and also from 30 to 15. And then also under the disclosure section, there was an expansion made to some of the, to some clarification, some definition on the on who gets the commissions, naming the brokers and such. So there was a little expanded language there. All of these amendments were agreed to upon by all of the folks, that the stakeholders in the bill, and I think that they're fine amendments. They make the bill better, and I would ask the Senate to concur with those amendments.
Senator Gerlach renews his motion that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 1539 and that the bill be placed on its repassage as amended. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 1539, a bill for an act relating to insurance, regulating viatical settlements, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary. Secretary will close the roll. There being 65 ayes, 0 nays. Bill is passed. Its title agreed to. Senator.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate file 1910, a bill for an act relating to commerce, providing for the licensing and regulation of certain persons. Senate file 1910 is herewith returned to the Senate, signed Elvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Senator Dahl.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate file 1910, and that bill be placed on its repassage as amended.
Okay, Senator Dahl, a brief description of the bill and what changes were made since the bill left here.
Mr. President, members, this bill was a technical bill from the Commerce Department providing for licensing and regulation of a number of different occupations, including insurance adjusters. There's just a little technical change in defining what an emergency situation is in terms of when independent adjusters could adjust all losses and should they have to be there in reasonable time. So while there's a number of different events, catastrophes, et cetera, they also added emergency situations to give them a little more latitude in what a reasonable time was. I can urge your passage of this bill as amended.
Okay, Senator Dahl moves that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 1910 and the bill be placed on its repassage as amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Secretary will give Senate File 1910, its third reading.
Senate File 1910, a bill for an act relating to commerce, providing for the licensing and regulation of certain persons.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Dahl, could you tell me, I see in the description on the screen there is a reference to continued education requirements. In the real estate, is that for real estate or is that for appraisals or is that insurance, and what are the changes, at least in the real estate area, if there are any?
Senator Dahl.
Mr. President, Senator Limmer, it was continuing ed for a number of different occupations, as you can see. I don't have the bill in front of me, but there was no controversy with this bill and when it was presented by the Commerce Department and the committee. But I'm sorry I don't have an answer in front of me on that issue.
Senator Limmer.
Senator Dahl, the trade organizations that follow these types of bills, did they find any opposition or did they propose any opposition to you regarding some of the continued education requirements?
Senator Dahl.
Mr. President, no, there was no opposition or testimony in opposition to this bill.
Okay, Secretary will give the bill its third reading. Excuse me, Secretary will take the roll. Before that, Senator Vandiver.
Senator Dahl, yield for a question.
He will yield. Senator Vandiver.
Senator Dahl, does this bill raise any fees for licenses or anything?
Senator Dahl.
Mr. President, not that I'm aware of. It's just terms of regulation and modifications and technical modifications related to licensure and continuing ed.
So to your knowledge, it doesn't raise any fees?
Mr. President, Senator Vandiver, no.
Secretary will take the roll. Secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed. Its title agreed to. Senator Carlson, are you ready? No, I'll do what she's ready. She's back there talking. Senator Carlson.
Mr. President, I move that.
Read the message at the desk first.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate file 1876, a bill for an act relating to transportation, modifying and updating provisions relating to motor carriers, etc. Senate file 1876 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Now, Senator Carlson, now you make your motion.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate do concur with the amendments by the House on Senate file 1876 and that the bill be placed on its repassage as amended.
Okay, Senator Carlson, tell the body what the bill is about and what changes were made in the conference committee.
Mr. President and members, the 1876 was amended in the committees in both the House and the Senate to just do a delete all amendment and clean up some of the language from its introduction. The bill came through the House without any additional changes. In the Senate, it was amended to add a provision for transporting partially filled tanks of propane. We decided that that was a controversial amendment, and so what we're doing is we're adopting the House language and deferring that propane language to be dealt with in another bill. So there are no changes since the bill was first heard in the Senate or the House.
Okay, is a discussion. Senator Carlson renews his motion that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 1876 and the bill be placed on its repassage as amended. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Now the third reading.
Senate File 1876, a bill for an act relating to transportation, modifying and updating provisions relating to motor carriers, highways, and the Department of Transportation.
Secretary will take the roll. Final passage. Okay, all senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. Being 62 ayes, 4 nays, the bill is passed, its title agreed to.
The next message is on Senate File 1569. Senator Clark, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File 1569, a bill for an act relating to economic development, providing for local collaborative projects to deliver employment, training, and education services. Senate File 1569 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Senator Clark.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House of Senate File 1569 and that the bill be placed on repassage as amended.
Okay, Senator Clark. Brief description of your bill and what has changed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, this is the bill that looks at how moving forward we can streamline adult learning, training, workforce development, starting with some local collaboratives and then giving us recommendations about to change. The House took our bill, they took our language, and they added one sentence that was inadvertently left off over here that places adult basic education on the local workforce boards. It's a good amendment and encourage you to vote for it.
Okay, Senator Clark renews her motion that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 1569 and the bill be placed on its repassage as amended. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Secretary will give Senate File 1569 its third reading.
Senate File 1569, a bill for an act relating to workforce development.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted behind you. All senators having voted desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. It'll be at 65 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed. It's title agreed to. Senator Pogemiller, I believe that clears the deck here.
Mr. President, I'd like to recess to the call of the chair. I move that we recess to the call of the chair. I'd like to announce a Rules Committee meeting at 2:15. And I think the chair could probably call the Senate back, hopefully by 2:45 or so.
Okay. The Rules Committee is meeting where?
2:37.
Okay. All right. On the motion to recess to the call of the chair, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Said before that, Senator Latz, did you have a?
Mr. Chairman, will those senators carrying portions of the homeowners protection package meet with me for a few minutes in the retiring room as soon as we go into recess? Thank you.
Okay. Senator Pogemiller renews his motion. That the Senate is in recess. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senate stands in recess.
Senator Pogemiller from the Committee on Rules and Administration, to which is referred House File 885, a bill for an act relating to taxation, making policy, technical, administrative, and clarifying changes. Reports the same back with the recommendation that the bill be amended as follows. Delete everything after the enacting clause and the title of House File 885 and insert everything after the enacting clause and the title of Senate File 681, the first engrossment, and that the bill be further amended as follows. And when so amended, the bill do pass.
We need a motion to adopt. Hello.
Oh, yeah. We'll move to adopt the committee report. Mr. President, I'd move to adopt the committee report.
On the motion, all in favor? Signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr.
Senator
President.
Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that an urgency be declared, and that within the meaning of Article 4, Section 19 of the Constitution of Minnesota, with respect to House File 885, and that the rules of the Senate be so far suspended as to give House File 885 its second and third reading and place it on its final passage.
Be our roll call. Senator Senjum?
Mr. President, request a roll call.
There'll be a roll call.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
I'd like to impose a call of the Senate.
Senate's under call.
Mr. President.
Hold up.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and a sergeant-at-arms be instructed to bring the absent members.
On a motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator.
Mr. President.
Senator Ortman.
Mr. President, I was just going to ask the majority leader if he would yield. What is the emergency?
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, Senator Ortman, members, as was explained in the Rules Committee, House File 885 is a bill that we commonly refer to around here as a vehicle bill. It's a bill that would allow both taxes and expenditures to be processed in the same vehicle. And we wanted to get this into a conference committee so that we have additional options so that we can avoid a special session and try to create an environment of step-by-step compromise at which we can complete in an orderly and timely fashion this session.
Senator Ortman.
Mr. President, and if the majority leader will yield again, do we not have conference committees meeting that are authorized by the House and Senate by vote and with vehicles to pass a state budget?
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, yes, we do, Senator Ortman. This is an additional possibility, and we absolutely, I think, under the times we're under with the historic deficit, we are in a position, as we often do every year, have additional vehicles available to accomplish things, but, you know, if there's vetoes or if there's some other thing that happens. Now, of course, our preference is that we move along these various conference committees in an orderly fashion and bring them all to the floor and be done. But as you know, we have three bills on the governor's desk that he will make a decision on. There's a total of 10 or 11 bills that are necessary. We have three on his desk. We have three that are the House and Senate have determined. We actually have four more where the House and Senate have determined a target, and we are now taking input from the executive branch on those targets, specifically public safety and state departments, our two conference committees where there's been quite a bit of give and take after we set a House and Senate target. And there's been some requests for some additional spending in those two bills. And so we've slowed down their completion. And so, as we all know, though, there's going to have to be some kind of larger human service, health, education, tax kind of compromise here to accomplish a consummation of the session. And this is a vehicle that would allow for that those pieces to come together in some fashion to move us to an orderly conclusion.
Senator Ortman.
Well, Mr. President, it sounds like the conference committees are at an impasse. The House and the Senate can't agree. And I think that's terrible for the state of Minnesota. It sounds like failure. But I'm not sure why we're so ready to give up on the conference committees and appoint a new set of conferees to create a whole new set of laws and budgets and revenues. I'm not sure why we're willing to give up on those 10 people at this point. I'm not. I come back every single day. I know everybody in the Senate does. I think it's a shame that we're going to give up on that conference committee and pick a whole new group of people to work on the budget. I don't think there's an emergency here. I think that we should let these conferees do their work, and I think that we should continue to have pressure on them to do the work of the Senate and to not bypass the whole project or the whole process.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, Senator Ortman, first, I think we're all grateful that you come every day. I'm not sure you sit on one of the conference committees that is actually necessary to consummate the session with regards to budget. Perhaps this one will be an opportunity for you to be on a conference committee that could help bring the session to a conclusion, because you've been a valuable member of those kinds of conference committees in the past, and I do note that you're not on one of them now. This perhaps would be one of those opportunities. I'm not sure. And in addition, those conference committees are not at an impasse. We have seven of them that we could complete. We have three of them are complete. We have four more that absolutely could finish. We have a couple that are going to finish this evening for sure. And then we have the Tax Committee, the Health Conference Committee, and the Education Committee that are kind of waiting for major decisions to be made in conjunction with the governor as to how to complete the session. If I assure you, Senator Ortman and members, I assure you that if we're not able to come to an agreement with the governor prior to next Tuesday, that we will put those bills on his desk and those conference committees will finish their work. So I think we're way ahead of the game. We're about 11 days from completion. By tonight, we will probably have two or three bills of the major bills signed by the governor. That's way ahead of schedule. And I'm very optimistic that things are going very nicely. And one of the things we're trying to do, and I would think members would appreciate this, we're trying to create multiple avenues to get compromise and a solution. And I want to assure Senator Johnson that there will be a conference committee report that she's sitting on. There will be a conference committee. I think she's aware that there's discussion in the tax conference to break out some of the non-controversial stuff and send that on a vehicle. There's some discussion of doing that, and I think we would create a vehicle for that also if that's what that conference committee decides to do.
Senator Hahn, then Senator Corrin, and then Senator Vandiver. Senator Corrin.
Would the majority leader yield for a question?
He will yield, yes, Senator Corrin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Leader, what you said that this is going to be a vehicle to put the pieces together. My question is are the pieces going to have gone through the process? And the reason why I say that is because I was scolded by a couple of the chairs that I wasn't going through the process. And I know that, Senator, your seatmate is a stickler for the process, and the judiciary chair is a stickler for the process. And so I just want to make sure that we're going through the process that everybody is so intent on having. Are we going to make sure that we're going through the process and so that it doesn't get down to the end, and instead of 201 people making the decision, it'll just wind up being four or five like always. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Senator
Mr. President. And Senator Corrin, you noticed that I offered the retiring room for Senator Senjum because I took your point to heart, and that is a room for all senators. So.
Senator Corrin.
And you can ask the Republican senators. I said that this should be the last time that we use it for caucus. I don't agree with that, Senator Pogemiller. But I still would
question,
like to know
on your question, yes.
My question.
On
yes.
Your question.
Yes, sir.
Senator Corrin, I would anticipate, since about every piece that's possible is in place somewhere, I would anticipate that items that might be in this type of bill or conference committee would be pieces that people have seen and discussed. And yes, I think that's a fair thing for you to wonder about. And I think it's likely that those are pieces that will have been discussed in the House or the Senate.
Senator Vandiver.
Mr. President, we're still on the rule suspension, and I'm wondering what the emergency is. I remember last time one of the reasons for the emergency was that the chamber supported the bill. Does the chamber support this bill?
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I doubt that they've had the opportunity. There's not much in it. If you look at the contents, it's basically a vehicle bill with blank appropriation numbers. And so I would think the chamber would want to know more specifics before they made a determination.
Will the Majority Leader yield for another question?
He will yield, Senator Vandiver.
Mr. Majority Leader, could you tell us, I'm a little confused, you said this is going to be a vehicle. So for the television audience, could you explain what a vehicle is and what the purpose of this vehicle will be?
That's maybe Dick Day could.
Well, Mr. President.
Senator
Mr. President, I think most people know what a vehicle is, but in legislative parlance, what a vehicle is a bill that has provisions in it that it carries. And so you have a wrapping of the almond. Remember your freshman orientation, members? What the House file is a reciprocal of provisions that are passed by either House or the Senate and that come before the bodies for passage. So it carries the provisions.
Mr. President,
letter.
So this vehicle carries these provisions in it. Is it meant to replace something? Is that what this is for? Is this meant to replace the tax bill that's not going anywhere, that's in committee right now? Is that what this is for?
Mr. President.
Vandiver. Senator Pogermiller.
Senator Vandiver, it does not replace the tax bill, no.
So, Mr. President, will Senator Pogermiller yield for another question?
Yes, he will.
Okay, thank you. Senator Pogermiller, what is it meant to replace?
Mr. President, Senator Vandiver, I've been trying to be clear about this. Let me try it again. It doesn't replace anything. It's an additional option or opportunity to bring compromise between the House and the Senate and the governor. So it doesn't replace anything.
And just one more question, Mr. President. Mr. Majority Leader, of how many of the omnibus bills have targets agreed upon at this point?
Mr. President, I've already stated, Mr. President, Senator Vandiver, I have stated that already. There are three bills on the governor's desk. There's an additional four that have a House-Senate target. And on those, actually there's five if you include the bonding bill. So there's an additional five with House-Senate targets, and we've been asked to work with the governor to firm up those additional five targets.
Mickey.
And in several of those bills, the governor is asking for additional spending, and it's creating a challenge because I don't know where we're going to get that money.
So do we know how many do not have targets?
Mr. President, yes.
Senator Pogermiller.
Yes, there are three that basically do not have a target. That's the K-12 and the tax bill. I guess there's only two that don't have a target.
Only
Senator
two.
Vandiver.
And but they happen to be the two, don't they? So the options as to... Oh, higher ed.
And Mr. President, also
Senator
higher... And higher ed doesn't... Higher ed and K-12 are kind of, because of the federal money, are kind of jointly connected. So there's three bills that don't have a target.
Okay, so those three bills, this are the ones that we're probably worried about with this, but we don't really want to say right now what we're using it for. But we're suspending the rules to kind of get this so that we can load it up with things that other things could stick to is what it, I think we're doing, isn't it? So what is the emergency? I mean, why do we have to do that right now? Are these conference committees in total and complete disaster, going absolutely nowhere? Are they making any progress at all, or you've just determined that they're completely hopeless?
Senator Hand.
Well, thank you, Mr. President, and I'd also like to ask the Majority Leader, too. I've not been here that long. I've been here 6 years, 7 years, I guess. I'm not familiar with this process. I'm familiar with the idea of vehicles, Senator Vandiver, but I've not ever been in a session where we've gotten to this point in the session and we're now going to create a new bill. And Senator Pogermiller, you might detect there's a little bit of skepticism or concern on our side of the aisle. We're not quite clear on exactly what is going on here and why it's going on. And the question I have directly is, what is the strategy? I assume that this is something that you and the leader of the other body have agreed to do. And if that's the case, I'd like to know what, if that is true, and what is that strategy, and what are you trying to accomplish here? We're not trying to be obstructionists just to obstruct, but there's a great deal of unclarity, I guess, on our side of what we're doing. We have conference committees. We've got a process. Previous years, we've always used that process. We know we don't agree. Sometimes we come down to the very end, and we have to get people together and work out agreements and compromises, and we do that. And I personally am not clear at all why we're doing this and what is the plan here, and does the other body have a agreement to this as well? Is this something that is being done with the agreement of both bodies? And Does the governor have agreement to this, or just what? Can you help us out and tell us what the strategy here is and why we need to do it?
Mr. President.
Senator Progemiller.
Senator, I appreciate the genuine question, and I absolutely recognize that no one's trying to obstruct things here. The leadership has been talking about the general principle has been, how do we break this large task into smaller tasks? And it's become obvious that the governor feels very strongly about the $2.2 billion tax increase, very strongly. And so it's pretty apparent to Senator Bach and Senator Lincheski that they're going to have to come up with a different alternative there. And so the feeling is that if we create an extra conference committee, and the House has agreed to this, obviously. They've sent us this bill, which is a bill to do technical things for the Revenue Department, and they've sent it to us, and the suggestion was, well, why don't we create the possibility of another conference committee where we could put some combination of tax provisions and expenditure provisions in one place that might kind of break the logjam a little around here. And so that's what we're doing. That's what we're trying to do. And it's pretty clear. Senator Olson asked us in tax committee, rules committee, is this a way to put some tax provisions in the same vehicle as potentially some expenditure provisions? And the answer to that question is that's a possibility, because that's why you have both types of provisions in there. Whether that happens or not is yet undetermined. Senator Bach and Senator Lincheski, I don't know if I was clear, the intent was to take this up, pass it, and then the House will not concur. The House is not going to concur in whatever we do today, unless we solve the budget, then they might, but I presume we won't. And they're not going to concur. They're going to ask for a conference committee of 3 or 5 members, and then we will appoint a conference committee of 3 or 5 members, and then we will have another option for bringing proposals to the House and Senate floors in a timely fashion.
Mr. President.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm wondering if the chairman of the Tax Committee, Senator Bach, would answer a question.
He will answer a question.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Bach, I'm not on your committee and I'm not on the conference committee, and I guess I'm curious to know, has the conference committee with you and Representative Lincheski, has it gotten to such an impasse that there's no way to reach any kind of agreement on targets or structure or anything going forward? And are you in agreement with the strategy of moving the work of the conference committee into another conference committee to be determined, I guess, in the future here? I'm just trying to get a feel for whether you feel this is the thing we have to do at this point, that we have to give up on the process that we have in place right now.
Senator Bach.
Well, Mr. President, everybody in this room knows that the governor made the spending cuts he thought he could make. And then he went to a school aid payment shift to free up some additional money, some one-time money. And then he borrowed money out of future budgets by creating something he calls an appropriation bond, really a loan. Takes a loan out of future revenue, pulls it back into this biennium of $986 million to balance the budget in the current biennium. I feel very strongly that we should not borrow money to resolve this budget deficit. And my hope is that this vehicle, when a conference committee gets appointed, that we can find some other option to borrowing money, some other way to raise that $986 million. And that's the discussion that I'm looking forward to having with the conferees, and my hope is that we can do that in the next couple days. Senator Hahn, I wouldn't describe it as has the conference committee down in room 15 on the omnibus tax bill come to a stop. I don't think that's true. But what is going on down there is there is a side-by-side of the two bills that has a lot of ink on one side and is blank on the other. And all the way going through there are stark differences between the Senate's and the House's approach at trying to resolve this deficit, and even on provisions that members wanted, local provisions that the House has included very, very few of them. So we've spent a great deal of time in the last week on local members' provisions, trying, because I can just tell you, I mean, as a chair of a major omnibus bill, I feel responsible for members that have entrusted in me their local provisions. Senator Fischbach's provision for Sauk Rapids is important to me, and I want to make sure that we get that done. So we've spent a great deal of time on those member-type provisions, and we haven't spent any time yet on the idea of where is the revenue going to come from? Where is the difference between the House and Senate relative to the revenue? But the one thing I believe that Representative Lencheski and I both agree on pretty strongly is we shouldn't borrow money. So what I think we're trying to set up with this conference committee is some kind of an alternative to the governor's bond proposal. The governor's proposal that we're going to borrow $986 million to balance the budget.
Mr. President.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Bach. I appreciate the explanation, but I'm still a little bit confused. I'm assuming, maybe I'm incorrect, but whatever this new vehicle is, that I would assume that you from the Senate side and Representative Lencheski from the House side would be the major players in that new conference. And I appreciate the recognition that there's great differences between the House bill and the Senate bill. But what changes by having a different vehicle? Why can't the compromising that you're talking about be done right now? Why can't this House and the Senate sit down and say, well, we've got different approaches on raising revenue, and you've got this, and we've got this, and we've got to find some way to blend it. Or the governor wants to do something, and neither of us like that, but we're going to try to find a way to accommodate something. Why? That seems to me to be the normal work of a conference committee. And I guess I had thought, not being a part of that committee, that's what was going on. That's what you guys were doing, was talking about these things and figuring out how to bring these things together. I'm not clear yet how creating another bill and having the same players go be on that bill changes any of the differences in the approaches that the House has taken and the Senate has taken and the governor has, and how that changes the dynamic in terms of making it easier to find the compromise. It seems to me that it just has to be, there has to be agreement. And the first agreement, it would seem to me, would have to be between the House and the Senate and the majority parties there to say, here's what the legislature thinks. And I'm just not clear why creating another vehicle makes that work any better. And maybe you can help us out. I think that's part of the frustration on our side in saying, well, let's do this thing and do something a little different we've never done before, and we're all open to change. But it's not clear to us what is accomplished by this and why it can't be done with what we have right now.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senator Pogemiller, in describing what you want to do today, you were talking of a bill that would propose blank appropriations. We spent a lot of time in the last few months creating tax bills, appropriation bills, and it just seems like there's just not enough money. Now we got to give you basically a blank check appropriation in order to fill it up even more. And I'm just trying to figure out, when is all of this insanity going to stop? We have conference committees, tax conference committees, that are led by both majority parties in both chambers. And it appears as though they can't make progress. They're at some type of standstill, and now we've got to shift to the next proposal and do this thing and quickly decide on an appropriation or a tax bill, or I'm not quite sure what it is. But what in the world have the committee chairs been doing during this session? We're now into the fifth month. The bewitching hour of ending this session is coming soon to a close, and I just don't understand why. There were a number of people in this room that said, don't tax anymore. Please don't do that to our people. And yet, it went out the door and it passed. Passed in the other chamber. People of like minds got together in a conference committee, and it doesn't seem like they can even decide what's going on. So now we have to go to Plan B and now bring in a bill with blank appropriations, blank details, no consideration for the committee process, and basically say on this blank check bill, trust us, let's make a decision at this late hour. I just think this is highly improper. It doesn't follow any procedure or process. I don't know how the public can ever follow what we do here in moments like this. If there's something that has to be added, bring it back to these tax committees and have them add it, subtract it, adjust it, maybe even cut the extra tax that we're demanding as a legislature on the people, and balance, and let's go home. That's what really is what the public is needing. The public really doesn't follow all of this stuff. They're worried more about making their mortgage payment. That's what the public is thinking about. They're trying to figure out what they're going to do about paying for their kids' college education this next September. And we dilly-dally around and talk about $2 billion more of taxes, sidestepping the process, trying to figure out if our tax committee conference committees are actually doing the work or not. And now we get this thrown at us, and we're asked to vote on it without committee deliberation. There is something smelly here, and I don't like what's going on.
Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just think, members, we should be clear. We should be clear what we're being asked to do today and what apparently we will do. And this is the legislature, because the House has already done it, this is the legislature breaking our deadline. We can't meet our deadlines. Even in the midst of one of the toughest recessions ever, we can't meet our deadlines. We're afraid of May 18th, and we should be. We should be. So we're going to say that we're going to suspend our rules, suspend the Constitution. There's a resolution from the House sitting on the Secretary's desk right there saying that we can't meet a midnight deadline of tonight for these conference committees. Members, I'd suggest we vote this down, we adjourn, and we send these conference committees back to work until midnight. I think everyone was working in good faith toward that deadline. And let's hope that the House and the Senate can get back together. Because right now we've got the makings of a three-ring circus. We've got seven or eight large conference committees that are kind of meeting. We've got this Legislative Commission on Fiscal Planning. Well, that's been meeting. And now we're going to set up a third ring of the circus, which is this new bill, this new vehicle, which is taxes and spending, but it's a bunch of blanks, so you're going to have to fill it in. And I'm just afraid Minnesotans are going to fill it in with their imaginations. And they're going to see a legislature that is not getting its work done. It's not getting its work done on time. Members, we should not go into special session. But we don't need more conference committees to avoid a special session. We need listening and we need compromise.
Further discussion, Senator Sinjum.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. We've been here 5 months, January 7th, May 7th. Everybody's worked hard. We put together a lot of packages. We put together conference committees. As Senator Michelle has pointed out, they've been working hard. And now all of a sudden, for at least us in the minority, we'll walk up the sidewalk, we walk into this chamber, and we find ourselves surprised by, you know, a game change. A game change that now has us going down, as Senator Michelle has pointed out, another route, another way, and as Senator Coring pointed out. Process, what happened to that process? What happened to the structure? We talk a lot about structural balance around here. What about structural process? And structural process is important. And so now we're going to put into play Senate File 880, House File 885, and that becomes the new game in town. And we're going to work around that, and we're going to put conferees together, and they're going to determine what the numbers are. And frankly, as Senator Limmer has pointed out, this is the new tax bill. This is the billion-dollar tax bill. This is the bill that's going to substitute, if you will, that appropriation bond that somehow nobody likes. But I tell you what, it does get you $1 billion without a tax increase. Probably take care of some shifts. But I tell you what, we did shifts in 2003. They worked. I'll defend those shifts. They do work. We don't need to go down the road of this tax increase. But here we are with House File 885, and that's so-called the vehicle that's going to take us home. And Mr. President, members, there's a lot of process that I think it's been bypassed here that's important. A lot of members have put in a lot of hours, and all of a sudden, a lot of their work doesn't matter anymore because we're going to have this group of 6 or 10 that are so-called, the super people around here, and they're going to come together and they're going to put this bill together. And they're going to take us home, we think. I would just say to the body and, frankly, to the legislature and to the majority party, we need to get their act together between the House and the Senate. Maybe we ought to do that first. Get the House and the Senate working together on one page. Maybe we can work with the governor. But the three-ring circus, frankly, doesn't work. So, Mr. President, members, urge a no vote on suspending the rules. Let's play within the system. Let's play within our process. And let's make sure, more than ever, that we get done on time. We can do it. We've got good people working. We don't need this bill. Vote no on the suspension.
Senator Pogemiller renews his motion to suspend the rules. All those. There will be a roll call. Senator Day.
Mr. President, Senator Cohen is here. This is, remember we're talking about the kamikaze pilots? Well, this is putting helmets on the kamikaze pilots because it's still going to crash. It makes no difference if the pilots. So when the bill gets all done and it comes back here, we came to session January 6th. Then we had deadlines, I believe, about February 9th. Now we went 90 more days and we got all of these different committees out there. The Democrats control the House. The Democrats control the Senate. We sit here and get pounded just about every time we offer amendment. I've sat here and offered Racino on bonding. I just pick up a thing and the governor of Iowa is going to use $700 million bonding. What's he going to do with gaming? We couldn't do that. We offered $1 billion on that. We couldn't do that. The governor on January 6th said he wasn't going to do any taxes. Is this news to somebody sitting here? That, my goodness gracious, 2 weeks ago, Governor Plenty said, I don't think I'm going to do any taxes this year. He said that on January 6th, the day we started session. Now, I'm not saying it's going to end up that way. I have no idea if it's going to end up that way. But I'll tell you what, that's what was said to start with. So, what do? We have these wonderful proposals of billions of dollars of taxes that the minority sat here and told the DFL, please don't do that. Minnesotans don't want it. Nobody wants it. But you get it rolling and people in here, it's like, follow the leader. Let's all do it. I'm sure there was a few people that had to vote for it that didn't want to vote for it, which is too bad. Because if there would have been a little more courage with 6 or 7 of you, we wouldn't have had this. We would have moved it on down a little bit and we wouldn't have to do another 85 or whatever this House bill you're going to all put together and do. And we all know what that's going to do. We're going to put together a deal and it's going to say, we're going to go back to the 1948 DFL playbook. Let me think. Let's do liquor. Let's do cigarettes. And by George, let's tax those wealthy people. That's a genius. That's a 60-year-old playbook. Maybe Favre will come here. I will tell you that the Democrats control it, and why do we have to have all these little shenanigans? We got 7 major bills sitting out on conference committees. My goodness gracious, they got to be able to put some of them together. I can't imagine they can't put some of them together. But if they can't put them together, then let the Republicans put them together for you. And then we'll get out of here on May 18th. We'll all be happy. Nobody will be losing their home due to taxes. Nobody's going to get taxed out of everything that moves in the state. And we'll be out of here. And it won't take a lot to do that. It's always, I think, I guess, interesting to watch at the tail end. But I don't mind it so much, but after you sit here for 4 months and you just get beat and beat and beat, you always kind of wait for a day like this because you know that everything is just totally unraveling around here. There's no way the people in the tax committee, they couldn't confree that until it would be next fall before that could happen, because I don't know how people would come back and have the taxes that would be the mix that you'd want. But just to send it out of here and get another vehicle, so-called vehicle, and there again, it's the kamikaze pilot and the plane, and we'll do all that, and you can put the helmet on them. But we're going to be back here in another week, and we'll be starting all over unless we get some sense around here. And I don't know exactly how to do that, but we're going to have to, because this is pretty serious stuff this year. The other years, we had some places we could go to get some dollars. This one's going to be tough. So I just, when you sit here and listen, and people that I talk to, I just had a good conversation at lunch today, and the guy was telling me, he said, you know, why are you guys talking about dogs eating mulch and whatever. And I'm going, well, that's part of the process. These are bills we have to put in. These are things we have to do. They said, well, why don't you do the major stuff? I said, well, you know, I don't know exactly why. I guess that's just one of these things that happened. But I will tell you, I'm not apologizing for nothing. And I'm not saying everybody is working hard and all of these grandiose statements. I will tell you that the Democrats run the state of Minnesota. Get the bills to the governor. He hasn't even vetoed anything yet. Just get them down there. And I don't know what you have to do to pull each other's arms and do whatever you have to do, but at least send them down there. Then he can veto them and we can start all over. But the whole bit about saying, okay, now we can't do our work at all, and we're gonna put together another vehicle, just doesn't work. So I just hope that somewhere along the line, the majority leader and the Speaker of the House and the tax chairs just go on out for a nice lunch and figure this whole thing out, and then come back with some common sense approach to running the state of Minnesota.
Secretary will take the roll.
that
all senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 46 ayes, 20 nays. The motion to the suspend the rules is adopted. Second reading.
House File 885.
Second reading.
Mr. President.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm just curious to know if the bill that we're contemplating putting together, 885, is this conform to the constitutional provisions of single subject and so forth? Or previous discussion, we were talking a little bit about this, and it was mentioned that we were going to put taxes and maybe a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And I thought that was not conforming with the intent of the constitutional provisions about how legislation was to be constructed. And I'm just wondering if somebody would clarify how this bill is going to look when it comes out.
That's just a tax matter so far, so. Senator Hand?
Well, Mr. President, I wasn't in Rules Committee, but I have understood that there are other things besides taxes included in the framework of this vehicle. And I guess that's why I'm asking, because I wasn't there. I just want to know, we do have the constitutional provisions on single subject, and I'm just wondering whether this bill contemplates violating the Constitution.
Yeah, looking at the bill, the title is State and Local Government Policy, Technical Changes, Clarifying Changes, and...
Mr. President.
It's pretty broad, so it has that everything...
Well, Mr. President, that's...
I'll just say we're doing the right thing here, Senator Hand.
Well, Mr. President, I always want to do the right thing, and I know you do and others do here too, but we do have these rules, and we have the constitutional provisions about single-subject bills, and I think that's one of the reasons why we've had the committees break up into different groups and put together omnibus bills on the subject of their committee, and that's been the process that we've used. Now we're sort of saying we're going to have a bill that's got education and human services and taxes and health care, and how do we do that? I'm just trying to understand, is that what the intent here is, to create one bill? We're going to put everything we can think of or that we want to into the one bill and just set aside that little thing called the Minnesota Constitution and say, well, we want to do the right thing, so we'll put that aside. And I don't think we can do that. We took an oath of office that we can't do that.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have the same concerns that Senator Hand has raised, and I'm so glad that he raised them. I know that the majority leader is concerned about our Constitution. Article 4, Section 17 says that laws are to embrace only one subject. No law shall embrace more than one subject, which shall be expressed in its title. The title of our bill says relating to taxation. There was an amendment offered in the Rules Committee. I was present to see what happened, and the amendment would never have been ruled germane had it been offered on the Senate floor, because the A2 amendment offers language relating to appropriations, an entirely separate subject from taxation. It offers appropriations for education, human services, health care, medical assistance, long-term care, facilities grants, all non-germane to the entire subject matter of the original House File 885, which was individual income tax, corporate tax, franchise tax, sales and use taxes, special taxes, property taxes, and miscellaneous taxes. Clearly, Mr. President, under our own rules, if they do still exist, this bill is violating the Constitution. It would never have been, as I said, passed germaneness test on the Senate floor, and I hope that the President would rule it
Senator
out of
Ortman,
order.
I think you're working off that the House tax bill, and we engrossed this and changed it in the Rules Committee. So this is the unofficial engrossment that has these all of these issues in there. Senator Bach.
Well, Mr. President, advice. If you look at the unofficial engrossment that came out of the Rules Committee, which is what we're actually dealing with, in the title, in the first sentence, it says, relating to the operation and financing of state and local government. And I would argue that that's what this bill is about, Mr. President.
Well, that's what I think I said when I read the title a minute ago. So, Senator Ortman, we're...
Mr. President, my objection...
So you're working off the engrossment copy.
My objection is not that it's not germane. My objection is that the entire bill is unconstitutional under the single subject rule.
Well,
Mr. President.
Senator Hand.
Well, I guess I share the concern. Yeah, it does say you have to have the title that says what's in the bill, but the bill itself has to be about one thing. And when you've got everything in it, I don't know how you can make that be about one thing unless we say, well, the business of all bills is about whatever the state government does, and make it so broad and so general as to completely make nonsense out of the meaning of the Constitution. To me, it either makes sense to have the constitutional provisions, and we should make every attempt to follow them, or we say, well, it's just not convenient for us this year to do that, so we're going to set it aside, make a big bill, and add whatever we want into it, and form this special process that we've never done before. And pass. It's very frustrating for a guy like me that takes this seriously. I know you do, too. Why are we doing this? I still have not heard the legitimate reason why we're putting aside the process we have to do this and then do something that I think is clearly, at least in spirit, if not in fact, violating what the Constitution requires us to do.
Secretary, I'll give the bill its third reading.
Mr. President.
Senator Tomasoni.
Mr. President, it's my understanding that what's going to happen after this bill passes out of here is that there's going to be a conference committee, and this will be the last chance we have to have any influence on this bill. And, Mr. President, I have an E3 amendment. And, Mr. President, what this will do is it will give the conference committee another option at least. So I'd like to offer the E3 amendment, Mr. President.
Secretary will report the Tomasoni A3 amendment.
Senator Tomasoni moves to amend House File 885, the unofficial engrossment, as follows. Page 2, before line 1, insert. This is amendment A-3.
Senator Tomasoni.
Mr. President, I don't need to explain this bill again. This bill has been before us before. It's raising money through a video lottery, and the money is dedicated to education, health, and human services and the general fund. And members, this is a way of raising some money that is badly needed at this time, and it would go to the conference committee along with the rest of the bill, and would give the conferees an option to look at something different than what they're looking at right now. And members, I think this is a way that we can at least have some options so that when it comes back, we might see something that we can all vote for.
Mr. President, can I raise a question of germaneness on this amendment?
You may. Yes, you may.
I'd question the germaneness, would like a ruling of the chair.
Well, I think, you know, the bill is obviously mainly a tax bill, and the amendment is a tax issue, and it raises additional revenue, so it
advice?
Is germane. I rule it is germane.
Advice, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, you can give advice.
Are we saying that lottery gaming machines is a form of taxation?
I don't know if we are. I am. Yes, it raises taxes, and that's pretty clear. I mean, you might not like what it does, but that's not what I'm deciding. On that, Senator Day.
Mr. President, members, this is another slick move. For 9 years, I've been talking about Canterbury Park. Of course, Tomasoni wouldn't have Canterbury Park in his bill. He wants to have slots and bars. When Tomasoni offered his slots and bars with Canterbury, I can go along with that. So what we have now is, I guess, well, it's a pig in a poke, but it's a proposal that after 9 years getting absolutely hammered by Democrats over gambling, their guy offers an amendment on a bill that nobody even knows what it is. This, I don't know, the eighth kamikaze pilot plane. So I have a really hard time with this one. But I'm going to tell you, let the Democrats vote for their bill. I hope Republicans will stick with me. If they can't do something that we've been working on for 10 years, if they haven't got the courtesy to even tell me about these things, you know what? I hope my fellow Republicans, I don't worry about Democrats. Let them do whatever they want. But I'm hoping that our guys, you can stick with me and vote no on this.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Scheid.
Mr. President, I'm sorry to hear you say that, Senator Day, because you have an opportunity to offer an amendment as well. And there have been some Democrats who have been supportive of what you tried to do. I think this is our only opportunity to let the other body know that we think there are other ways to bring revenue to the table than just going after certain groups of people, whether it's the wealthy, whether it's people who smoke, people who buy a drink in a bar. This is an opportunity to help business that's struggling right now and also bring money to the table by people's choice, by something that they're choosing to do, not something that we're imposing on them. And so I encourage members to vote for this.
Senator Olson.
Mr. President?
Senator Olson. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm sorry I didn't know this amendment was coming because I would have prepared an amendment to it. But essentially, opening another option would be that the provisions of this amendment would not go into place if the compacts were reopened.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Senator Scheid, I appreciate your invitation. None of us knew about this, I guess. We didn't have a chance to prepare amendments and didn't get the signal that maybe an amendment would be welcome by the other side, from our side. I have a problem with this whole process that we're embarking on here. I just don't know that this makes a lot of sense to me. And I don't always agree with Senator Day, my colleague and friend, about maybe how we do gaming, but I'm going to stick with him on this. I think he's right. I think that we all know where his views are on this, and I think if there was an interest in looking at other forms of revenue, there was plenty of time in this session to talk about it. In fact, I remember it was even brought up a couple of times, and nobody wanted to do it. And now here we are at the very last day. We're going to create another blank bill, and now we've got an amendment to say, well, maybe we'll look at it. But we're going to look at only one thing, and that's this thing. I just think this is not a very good process.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. President, I'd like to ask for a roll call.
Be a roll call. Any further discussion? We're about ready to vote. We know what this does. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Tomasoni, could you tell me a little bit more detail on your amendment? Tell me how much you think this might raise.
Senator Tomasoni.
Mr. President, Senator Limmer, according to the figures of the lottery, the general fund would get about $537 million per full year. There would be money going into the environmental trust fund of about $170 million. That $537 would be the first year. The second year, they're estimating $805 million. and retailers would be getting in the area of $300 some million.
Mr. President.
Senator Limmer.
Senator Tomasoni, could you tell me again where you got that information? Who created it?
Senator Tomasoni.
Mr. President, this is an estimate of the lottery, and it's based on the exact same thing that they're doing in Oregon.
Okay. Mr. President, I've tried to catch up to the bill itself. We've got 68 pages of new legislation with blanks in the dollar amount, so I suppose we're going to trust somebody to fill in those blanks if this bill would pass. And now we're adding on, I don't even know how many pages the lottery bill would present, but another 18. So now we're up to 96 pages of new legislation that probably no one in the room has even read. Not to mention, even had the opportunity to define, to decipher, to talk amongst ourselves, to find an appropriate way to do the best service to the people of Minnesota. But now we have this new another game changer on the game changer, the amendment for expanding gambling across the entire state of Minnesota. At least Senator Day's Racino isolated it to one location, but now. Now we're going to expand it statewide to every little town and village and hamlet around the state. This isn't the way to do good legislation, members. We need to have proper discussion. We need to have and invite the public in to give us input on this and not do it in a matter of 8 minutes of deliberation on the Senate floor. I hope you'd vote no. If this is a worthy proposal, it'll be a worthy proposal next year or another venue where the public can have a participation in it, where we can hear the pros and the cons on the argument and not to be slipped through in just a few mere minutes.
Mr. President.
Senator Hand, then we're going to vote.
Thank
Senator
you, Mr. President. And I'm sitting here and I'm listening to Senator Limmer, and I got to admit, I'm getting a little mad about this. This is really bothering me. This whole we're going to pass a bill that none of us, maybe some people have read, but I haven't read it. I didn't even know about it. And it's got a lot of blanks in it. It's got filled with everything we can think of. And now we have another amendment to put an expansion of gambling onto this thing. And we're all here, and we're going to say we're a deliberative body, and we're going to vote on this because we think this is a better way to solve the budget problem in the state of Minnesota than all the stuff we've been working on for the past 4 months. And it makes me kind of think, well, what have we been doing? I guess we've been doing nothing for the last 4 months. We should have maybe done this on the first day. We saved ourselves a lot of time. And I'm getting a little worked up here because I'm thinking sure. You're making a mockery of the process that you talk about all the time, how important it is. And how important it is to have these rules and do this the right way and have hearings and let people have input and let people know what's going to happen and get the people in the public to see and understand what the choices are. Now we're saying, well, no, we're just going to do this. I think this is a big mistake.
Secretary will take the roll.
Mr. President.
On Senator Day.
I think I should probably explain my no vote here. First off, for 9 or 10 years, we've been working on gambling at a site that has 24 hours a day, 7 days a week gambling already. Already. As you well know over the years, you know, whatever it would bring in, it would bring in. And for years, Democrats have all voted no. This is the first time I'm glad there's actually some people that are talking about this. Let me tell you what Tomasoni's bill does. Tomasoni's bill brings gambling to your city big time. So, and if you live in a city of 1,000 or if you live in a city of 5,000 or 10,000, we are talking about every place you go. Now, I will tell you, when I had my Canterbury bill, that's what people told me. I don't care whether it was. They said, you know, at least they have to get in a car, they have to get in a bus, they have to go someplace. They didn't like that they could go 5 blocks to the local grocery store, convenience store, pub that was sitting down on the corner. So I guess I take great offense of what Senator Tomasoni is doing. I can't tell you how irritated I am by it, but I've been pretty irritated over the 9-10 years when I've been trying to give the state some money that is voluntarily given to them. And I think we all know, well, I think all of us in this room, we know the reason I could never get it done in 10 years. I don't think I have to spell it out. I think it was in 1998, it was on the front page of the Minneapolis Star and Tribune. And I think you all remember that. That was quite a thing. Senator Moe sent me a wonderful letter. A lot of money in gambling. A lot of money in gambling. And it has a way of convincing people how to vote. So all I'm saying is if you want gambling to come to your city 3-4 blocks from your home, then I think Senator Tomasoni will help you out. And hopefully down the line, somewhere along the line, we'll come up with something that makes a lot more sense.
But, Mr. President.
Senator Tomasoni.
You know, Senator Day, you got to at least say a little bit of the truth when you're up here talking. There's gambling in every single town in all of Minnesota, in every bar, and it's called pull tabs. And in addition, there were 13 Democrats that voted for your amendment the last time that we had the Canterbury up on the floor. So don't say that Democrats haven't supported you, because Democrats have supported you. And members, this is just an option that the conference committee will be able to entertain if it goes on this bill, because once this gets over to the House, they're going to send it right to conference, and a conference committee is going to be formed, and quite frankly, Canterbury might be germane to the conference committee, Senator Day, so you might just want to change your mind on how you vote.
Secretary will take the roll on the Tomasoni amendment.
Mr. President?
All senators having voted desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 9 ayes and 54 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Secretary will give the bill. Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to offer the A50, please.
Secretary will report the Michelle A50 amendment.
Senator Michelle moves to amend House File 885, the unofficial engrossment, as follows. Page 65, after line 7, insert. This is amendment A50.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. We have discussed this issue before, but I think it is much more timely on May 7th. Much more timely, just 11 days from the end of the regular session, according to our Minnesota Constitution. Members, if we are passing bills and amending our rules and revising our deadlines, and the conference committees are melting down, let's at least tell Minnesotans that we're serious about the May 18th deadline, that we're serious about meeting the May 18th deadline, and that if we don't, we will have some skin in the game. That we're so serious about it that we won't take per diem after May 18th. Pretty simple, members. Let's say loudly today that we're going to meet that May 18th deadline. There's a lot of things going on today that makes it seem like we won't. I hope you'll support the amendment.
Discussion on the amendment. Via roll call on the amendment. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, we have had the opportunity to vote on this numerous times, and I just thought I'd test whether it's germane. Senator Michelle seems to have a fixation here, so I question the germaneness.
On the fixation amendment.
Mr. President, I absolutely have a fixation to be done on time.
Okay.
Let's make that declaration today. This bill, we've just decided, is germane to everything. Right?
That's correct. Pretty wide out, but okay, we'll take a vote on the...
Mr. President, I'll withdraw that. Sarah Michelle's fixation, let's satisify let's it one more it. Time. Mr. President, would Senator Michelle yield?
He will yield. I was going to...
Sarah Michelle, I was wondering if you had taken the opportunity to lower either your per diem or your pay, which is allowed under Senate rules. Because I know we've discussed this numerous times during the session, and I was just a curiosity.
May 7th. It's Ken's birthday.
You could answer if you'd like.
Certainly, Mr. President. I have no doubt that Senator Pogemiller or his office already knows. I did not take the increase in per diem that we approved last year. And so I like to think I'm following I like to think I'm doing what I'm standing up for, but more importantly, this is about this session. This is about this session, Senator Pogemiller. And I know that so far, under Majority Leader Pogemiller and under Minority Leader Senjum, we've not had any special sessions. So let's go. This is an easy one then, right? Let's declare it today.
Secretary will take the vote on the Michelle A50 amendment.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
I move those not voting be excused from voting.
On the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Secretary will close the roll. There being 17 ayes, 38 nays. Amendment is not adopted. Secretary will give the bill.
Mr. President.
Senator Hand.
I rise for point of order.
Point of order? State your point of order.
Well, Mr. President, I would like, I guess, a ruling. I'm looking at Rule 7.3 of our permanent rules that talks about omnibus tax and appropriation bills, and it lists the 12. And then it says an omnibus appropriation or tax bill may not be divided. And it seems to me that what the bill we have in front of us is doing exactly that. It's dividing those appropriation and omnibus bills because there are provisions in those bills that we're now adding into this new bill. And so I'm asking, Mr. Chairman, for an interpretation of that rule that seems pretty clear to me that says what we're doing right now can't be done, but maybe I'm not well schooled in the rules and am asking for a ruling on that.
Is there money?
Mr.
sales in this bill. Wow.
Those are all bills in play already. I don't know what. I think all those bills are still in play. E-12 tax bill and all of them that are mentioned here. And they have, I think that's where the numbers have to be balanced. This is an add-on bill that.
Mr. President, my point of order refers to the statement that an omnibus appropriation or tax bill may not be divided, and you're right, all these bills have been passed as part of omnibus bills. They're sitting in committee, therefore they cannot be divided as the current bill in front of us is contemplating doing, since it incorporates pieces from these omnibus bills into this new bill, therefore dividing them. And that's the ruling I'm asking for.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I don't think that it's hard to kind of get through the logic of that, Senator Han. We often pass multiple tax bills. We pass, this is a technical tax bill in its base. And so I suppose under some strict construction that you can never have any item in any other bill that ever uses the same words as the other bill, you might have a point. But there could be appropriations for these items in multiple bills. There's no problem with that. That happens all the time around here. And so I don't see any basis for your logic there.
Mr. President, Mr. Senator Pogemiller, I'll maybe I can try to explain my logic. I'm just trying to understand. We've got in the rule, it says that an appropriation or tax bill, an omnibus appropriate, cannot be divided. Seems to me we passed an education bill that had general education aid in it. And now we have, by this A2 amendment into the bill that's in front of us, general education aid with blanks. So it seems like we've passed in the omnibus bill in education, general education aid, and now we're going to do it again, put it into this bill when the rule says it may not be divided. And so I'm just asking, what does that sentence mean in the rules where it says an omnibus appropriation or tax bill may not be divided? Because I'm reading it to mean once you've done it, you got to solve that before you do it again, I guess. I'm just asking for clarity. What does the rule mean? You wrote the rules. Tell us.
I think the
Mr. President?
Senator Pogemiller.
First, Senator Han, I don't think the President wrote the rule. I think these are the rules that have been adopted by the Senate. Secondly, I don't see how, whatever it means, I don't see this bill dividing one of the omnibus bills that's in the conference committees. And we have bills all the time here that pass in the Senate. Sometimes we pass multiple tax bills. Sometimes we pass multiple appropriations bills. So, if anything, this is an additional bill. This is not a division of a bill, if anything.
Well, and Mr. President and Senator Pogemiller.
Senator Hamm.
And I have not been here as long as the majority leader, but the time I've been here, we have never done what we're talking about doing right now. So this is sort of new, I guess, for all of us. And I know we've passed lots of different tax bills and lots of different education bills, but it seems like once you pass something and you call it the Omnibus Education Bill and you send it off to a conference committee to be conferenced with the Omnibus Education Bill on the other side, that seems to me to fall into the rule of what an omnibus bill is. And then we're saying here in the rule that you can't divide that. And so now we're going to do another thing here, this new thing, and I'm just trying to, what does that mean? And does what we're doing run afoul of that rule? And if not, then why do we have this rule in here? What does that mean? If it doesn't mean what we're talking about, what does it mean? When it says you can't divide one, what does that mean? If not what we're doing right now.
Well, Eddie, I'll answer that. We've done this before. Further discussion, Senator Pogrel, or Senator Pearsall.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, if you've looked through this, even flipped through it in a quick way, you'll find out there's tons of land sale stuff in here, almost every kind of land in every condition possible. And I don't know where that came up. You know, this is a bad-looking bill to me. And I'm thinking they got cities buying roadways, they got manufactured home parks, they got everything you can imagine in this bill. Who's going to buy and sell all that? And why?
That's the tax forfeited thing that with it. It's not a tax forfeit.
No, that's
third reading.
House File 885, a bill for an act relating to taxation, making policy, technical, administrative, and clarifying changes to income, corporate franchise, state sales use, etc.
Third reading. Senator Sedgwick.
Mr. President, we've been told House File 885 is a vehicle bill. It's probably a vehicle with a flat tire. It's probably not going to go anywhere. We're going to load it up with booze and cigarettes and income on high taxed or high income people, and it's going to go down, and it's going to find its way downstairs, and it's going to probably end up in veto land, and it gets us, frankly, nowhere. It's certainly a try, but I think the message today is, and all you have to do is look out the window. There's people out there that are laid off. There are businesses that are hurting. There are all kinds of circumstances out there that reflect what's going on in our society and relate to our recession. And here we are today with 885, this little vehicle bill, which is going to be our way home, and we all know it's not. So, Mr. President, members, I'm not going to suggest to anybody that our conference committee members haven't been working hard, because they have. But now more than ever, we need those conference committees to work and to get this thing done. As the old saying goes, the governor proposes, he's done that. We know where the governor stands. Now let's dispose. Let's do that. That's what the legislature's job is, to dispose, to get these bills off, to get them down there, to bounce them off the governor. We'll find out whether or not he wants to veto them or not, but let's make this thing work. We're running out of time. 11 days left. 885, I don't think, is the answer, but there is an answer with a lot of good people in this room and across the way in the House. We can get this done. We've got to get it done, but let's not rely on this bill.
Senator Artman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I'll remember this day. Senator Pogemiller, will you remember this day? Senator Bach, Senator Cohen, I'll remember this day. I'll remember the day that we looked at all the rules that you all passed and we basically threw them out. We said there are no rules anymore in the Minnesota State Senate. You could have passed any rule you wanted, and you did. And you can't live by your own rules. You basically ignored every rule you set for yourself for the process in the state of Minnesota in the Senate. You've demeaned the process by doing it. You've ignored the Constitution. That's insulting to every one of your constituents. It's insulting to everybody in this chamber. It's insulting to your staff to think that you're going to pass rules and then just throw them out the window because they just don't suit your needs today. It's disgraceful. I hope members will have some courage and vote no on this terrible process.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I certainly understand that Senator Ortman is concerned and upset. It's not clear to me that there has been any rule violations. I don't understand what you're talking about. What violation of rules has there been? There's no violation of rules. There's no violation of constitutions. I don't understand what... I understand you're impassioned, but I just think the record should be set straight. There's no violation of any rules.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Senator Ortman's right. Senator Pogemiller, I asked for a ruling on the Rule 7 that we didn't get favorable, but it seems to me there's only one reason to have that rule, and that's so that when you pass an omnibus bill that you don't get two or three of them in the process, that you only have one. That, to me, is the only reason why that rule is in the rules. And now we're going to have two. We're going to have the one in the committee, and then we're going to have another one that's doing something else. And so it seems to me that there is a violation of rule very clearly, and with all respect, Mr. President, I know you disagree with this, but I don't know how you can have that rule and have it mean anything else except that the rules say you don't want to have two omnibus bills doing the same thing in the process. And that's exactly what we're doing. So I think Senator Ortman is right, and I think we're all doing a bad thing here today if we pass this.
Secretary will take the roll on the bill. Senate is under call.
Sales to government section, sales to nonprofit group section. I think the school trust.
All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. We had 43 ayes, 23 nays. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator has a motion. He has a motion to make. Right? To lay the bill on the table. Is that what he has to do? Senator Bach.
Mr. President, I move that Senate File 681, number 124 on general orders, be stricken and laid on the table.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Got any other? That concludes the work.
Mr. President, then members, that's the conclusion of the work for this evening, except for we will be waiting for a message from the House. Our anticipation is that they will not concur in the bill we just sent and that they will call for a conference committee. And so the intent would be to appoint a conference committee on that. Do not know if it will be a five-member or a three-member. I don't know if Senator Bach and Lencheski have discussed that yet. So, Mr. President, we would need just a skeleton crew later. And tomorrow we'll come in at
Senator Sinjum.
I don't want to sound like I'm getting a little bit picky, but maybe I am, and I could understand the majority leader talking to his chief of staff. But let's not forget Mr. Watson is the Secretary of the Senate, or at least co-secretary. And it seems to me that if he's involved in a conversation like that, then maybe we all ought to hear it. And so just a thought as we move along.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, that's fair. Senator Sinjum, Mr. Watson had noticed that we had laid this resolution on the table, and he is asking, were you going to take that up today? And I then asked, I don't know. I didn't know that if it's necessary or not. And what I was about to do was call the Speaker of the House and see if she cared. Senator Sinjum rules, I didn't have the chance to, since rules, I haven't had a chance to talk with the Speaker. And so I was going to call the Speaker and ask. So, Mr. President, I'd ask for a brief recess, less than a minute or two. I'm just going to call the Speaker and ask what her, trying to work with the other body. So I'd ask for a recess to the call of the chair.
On the motion to recess to the call of the chair, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senate's in recess. No order. Senator will come to order. Senator Pogemiller.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I have consulted with the Speaker of the House, and I think I...
Let's listen for
Mr.
the
President, I have consulted with the Speaker of the House, and I think I would like to move to take House Concurrent Resolution number 1 off the table.
Yeah, on the motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, House Concurrent Resolution number 1 deletes the midnight deadline tonight from the deadline rule. As the rule is written, the relief for missing the deadline tonight is having the bill or the conference committee report go to the Rules Committee, the Senate Rules Committee. We can do that. We can do that. No big deal. The House's preference, so that they can process their work in a more orderly fashion, is to eliminate that step. And it's my feeling that in terms of trying to work with the House, I'm perfectly willing to eliminate that step. My intent is to still put these bills on the governor's desk by next Tuesday midnight. So the only effect of eliminating this deadline is that we can spend a little more time talking with the executive branch before we close some of these bills. That's the effect. We are prepared to close the bills. We've given targets to the conference committees that need to close the bills. We could give targets to the conference committees that do not have targets. But in that instance, it would only be targets by the Senate and the House, which would not include the governor. As you know, the Speaker has spent a lot of time trying to work between the governor and the majority leader to accomplish compromise. The Speaker is doing that now. I'm good to go on these deadlines. I would like to finish these bills. I would like to get them to the governor's desk. The Speaker of the House, in what I regard as a statesperson-like request, is saying, let's give some more time, Senator, for our conferees to work with the governor's office to accomplish a joint target. So I encourage members to vote for House Concurrent Resolution number 1. I would stand for questions.
Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Before the vote, excuse me, a couple of late Senator Ortman.
Mr. President, we would request a roll call vote on this. It's okay, terrible to pass a set of rules that you don't believe in. Shows a great lack of leadership. We set some goals for ourselves, and then once there's a penalty, we're going to rewrite the rules because we don't like the fact that we're in the penalty box. Just rewrite the rules again. Does anybody listening? Let's just change all the rules every single day Essentially, why don't we just throw them all out? Because there are none. You're just pretending that there are rules and that they mean anything. Please vote no.
Senator Senjum.
All right, Mr. President, just maybe reiterate what I said at Rules Committee. You know, the eyes of Minnesota are on this body right now. They're on what's going on in the legislature, and we do have rules. They were adopted on February 9th, and there's an escape clause in these rules if deadlines aren't met. I just think it's not good from the standpoint of perception. It's not good from the standpoint of practice. If we give up on our rules, we don't need to, for instance. I mean, it's all here. We don't need to give up on them. And why do it? And I just think it sends a bad message to the state of Minnesota, the legislature, because they can't seem to get their work done, has to change their rules. I don't think we need to do that. I'd urge a no vote on this proposal.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, these are self-imposed deadlines by the legislature on itself. I believe the Speaker of the House is asking the Senate to allow the governor the opportunity to work with our conferees before we finalize our deadlines in a few of our conference committees. I believe that's a statesperson-like request by the Speaker of the House. I'm willing to follow her leadership on this, and I believe the Senate would be well advised to do that. I urge a yes vote.
Mr. President?
Senator Day.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, rules are rules, but I don't look in the rule book, so I don't give a hoot about the rules. So I don't ever talk about the rules. I just want to tell the majority leader that the Speaker of House has god-awful bills. God-awful bills. So if you say she's working with the governor or working with whatever, the tax bill that she let her caucus put forward is terrible. Everybody here knows it. So why would anybody stand on the Senate floor and say, well, the speaker's working with the governor, did it? No, she's working with herself against Minnesotans. And that's why we can't conferee a bill out. Because she's got all of this stuff in it that people don't want. So, I mean, if we really want to do something, we should urge the majority leader to go out to dinner with the speaker, and between the two of them, just tone it all down a little bit, and we might get something passed. Otherwise, we are headed, I don't know, we're headed into June or for sure, and who knows? I could see a July 4th coming out of this unless somebody changes a little bit. And so I'm not one that's going to stand on the Senate floor and give the Speaker credit for anything. Because I think what they brought forward is terrible.
Mr.
Senator Pogermiller.
Just very briefly, I want to assure Senator Day that in fact... I did have a lovely dinner with the Speaker last evening. Senator Clark was there, and we had a lovely dinner, and it was Italian, and I had a glass of wine, and we each paid.
Did you? I was going to say, who paid with you three?
We each paid, although, you know, Mr. President, we had to call our fiscal analyst to get the bill straightened out.
You got it right down to the penny, too, didn't you? All right, let's take a vote on this motion, that there will be a roll call. Secretary will take the roll. Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I move that those not voting be excused from voting.
On the motion, all it. There we go. On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Being 39 ayes and 17 nays, the motion prevails.
Mr. President, then I would move a recess to the call of the chair. It will be simply for appointing a conference committee, assuming the House does not concur, which I believe they will not. And we would come back tomorrow at noon. And depending, we will be waiting for some work from the House. So the conference committees, if you are meeting, if you are still meeting, feel free to really take the whole morning. And but again, I wanted to... We will be meeting and voting on both Friday and Saturday. We will try to accommodate the morning of Saturday for those who want to participate in the fishing opener. So, but we will be meeting Saturday with votes, and we'll try to make that in the afternoon if we can. So, Mr. President, I move a recess to the call of the chair, and just a skeleton crew is necessary to appoint a conference committee.
And before that, Senator Moore.
Mr. President, per the request of members of the Senate to reinstate the practice, I would like to call out that it is orange and yellow.
Senator Betzel.
Mr. President and members of the State Government Budget Conference Committee, given the fact that the House is ready to come back into session, and I don't know how long they'll be in session. It doesn't make any sense to try to have a meeting yet today. So the State Government Budget Division or State Government Budget Conference Committee will not meet today.
Well, can they call Brian? Senator Stumpf.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Education Conference Committee, I believe we'll meet at 7 o'clock this evening, and that's in the state office building.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Environment, Energy, and Natural Resources Budget Division will have a committee meeting tomorrow, 10 a.m., in room 107 to process a couple of bills. Members, just want to remind you, it's a regular committee meeting.
Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, would Senator Pogemiller yield?
Senator Pogemiller, will you yield to a question from Senator Fischbach?
Mr. Chair, Senator Pogemiller, I'm just wondering if maybe you could give us a little bit clearer idea of what we are doing Friday and Saturday. You mentioned that we're going to be meeting, but I think everybody would appreciate understanding what the game plan is. Now that we've removed the deadlines for the conference committees, maybe it is an opportunity for them to meet if they're, and what kind of business do we need to be, do we have that we have to be on the floor for?
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, Senator Fischbach, if there is an agreement with the governor on these four or five conference committees, we will be voting on those. If we come to the conclusion that we cannot get an agreement with the governor on those four or five conference committees, I believe we will close them, bring them to the floor, and vote on them. If it appears there needs to be additional discussion with the governor, we may not have those bills to vote on. If I knew the answer, Senator Fischbach, I would tell you, because I have a family also, and I would like not to be here if we don't have work to do.
Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, Senator Pogemiller, I think then probably our time would be better used letting the conference committees do their business and having us come back on Monday and I mean, honestly, because we're going to be coming in, we're going to have everybody coming in, we're going to be taking time away from the conference committees, and I think maybe we need to let those conference committees meet, do their business, and then we would have the opportunity to come back and vote on them. And then this way, the negotiations or whatever has to happen, there is time to do it instead of having Senator Betzold is unable to meet tonight in conference committee because the House is going back in. And, you know, it has been a struggle to schedule these things. And I think it just makes more sense to allow them that time.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Senator Fischbach, I do appreciate that it's a struggle and the uncertainty is difficult on members. I do appreciate that. As you know, I'm for closing the bills, period. But I don't get to make that decision by myself. And so we are trying to accommodate the executive branch and the House of Representatives.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, the Health and Human Services Budget Conference Committee will meet 6:15-ish. We'll be reconvening. Thank you.
Senator Bach.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Conference Committee on the Omnibus Tax Bill will meet a half hour after the House adjourns.
Okay, without objection, Senator Rosenthal, Day, excused. Murphy, 1 to 140. Dill, from 1 to 125. Jungbauer, from 1 to 120. Bach, from 1 to 125. Day, from 110 to 120. Sharon, from 425 to 450. Berglund, 425 to 450. Pretner Solon, from 440 to 450. Fredrickson, from 5 o'clock to the end. And Koch, from 5 o'clock to the end. There my phone dropped again. On the motion to be Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, there should be two other people excused from 415 to 450. Oh, and that would be Senator Sharon and Senator Laurie.
Yeah, I guess that we heard that, but they didn't miss a vote, so we're all right on that. But thank you for mentioning it. All right, on the motion to recess, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senate stands in recess.
Senate will come to order. We will revert to messages from the House.
Madam President, are there any messages at the desk?
We're reverting to messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce that the House refuses to concur in the Senate amendments to House File 885, a bill for an act relating to taxation, making policy, technical, administrative, and clarifying changes, etc. The House respectfully requests that a conference committee of five members be appointed thereon. Representatives Lencheski, Marquardt, Greiling, Murphy E. and Downey have been appointed as such committee on the part of the House. House File 885 is herewith transmitted to the Senate with the request that the Senate appoint a like committee, signed Elvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move that the Senate accede to the request of the House for a conference committee on House File 885 and that a conference committee of five members be appointed by the Subcommittee on Conference Committees on the part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
On that motion, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
Madam President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Madam President, I'd like to move a brief recess for the purposes of appointing a conference committee.
Senate's in recess.
Madam President.
Senate will come to order. Senator Pogemiller.
Madam President, is there a privilege report at the desk?
Yes, there is.
Senator Pogemiller from the Subcommittee on Conference Committees recommends that the following senators be and they hereby are appointed as a conference committee on House File 885, Senators Bach, Skoy, Rest, Dibble, and Moi. Senator Pogemiller moves the foregoing appointments be approved.
On that motion, all those in favor, please say aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
Madam President, is there anything else?
We need to have, pursuant to Rule 12, Senator Pappas moved that the following members be excused for a conference committee on Senate File 2083 at 5 p.m. Senators Pappas, Slatz, Erickson, Ropes, Lynch, and Roebling. On that motion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails.
Madam President, then I would move that the Senate adjourn till Friday, May 8th, noon.
Senator Pogamiller moves that the Senate do now adjourn until Friday, May 8th at noon. All in favor of that motion, please say aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. The Senate is adjourned until Friday, May 8th, noon.